Whether you're a fan of bourbon, scotch, tequila, rum, gin, whatever it is, VSLiquor.com has you covered. And here's the best part. Don't leave your home. VSLiquor.com is the most reliable alcohol delivery there is. Make sure to type in the code SPORTS when you check out, and you'll get 15% off your initial order. VSLiquor.com, proud partner of the Sliwa Show. Kirk, we got different vibes for the entire night. We had reggae, a little hip-hop. We just kind of changed it up a little bit.
Yeah. This is me again, back at the bodega. But this time, you know, actually, no. I think I might not even – I'm rolling through, and I'm about to go to a pub.
Okay.
Go finish up this Dodgers and Astros
I'm
game,
going
right?
to a pub. I like that.
Going to a pub.
Casey's Irish Pub. Yeah,
yeah, go to a nice little Irish pub. Yeah, and go watch the rest of this game. See how it turns out.
All right, we'll keep you guys posted on this Dodgers game. They're in extra innings right now, so Justin Turner's on second. That's how the new format is for the 60-game season. But I want to welcome in right now a good buddy of mine and obviously a frequent guest on the Sliwa Show and the Lakers pregame show, Brad Turner from the LA Times. BT, what's going on, man? Thank you for coming on.
Man, Adam, I got a question for Kurt. Mm-hmm. Is he going to drink that beer out of a straw with his mask on at this pub? What's going on here?
What's going on, BT? Get this guy in line. I don't know what Kurt's
doing. Come on, man.
You're right about that. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I might just get one of those big gulp straws from like 7-Eleven so I can get more to my gulp.
No, it goes over the mask, down into your mouth. I got you. I'm looking out for you, buddy.
There we go. There we
Kirk,
go.
Kirk, just go home. Grab a beer at home. You're good to go. You can watch the game on your TV right there. So BT, we got a big game. Listen, let me slow down here when I say big game.
Yeah.
One of the things I wanted to ask you is how do you think the Lakers and the Clippers will approach these eight games? Because you know every team in this bubble, the goal is going to be different. And, of course, the Lakers and the Clippers, in my opinion, these are the best two teams in the NBA over Milwaukee. So keeping that in mind, how do you think the Lakers, how do you think the Clippers approach these eight games? And maybe that answers the question of what we should be expecting tomorrow.
You know, the first thing I want to say is you play to win the game.
Damn right you do.
But I don't think that's the number one priority. I mean, yes, they want to win. The main thing I think both teams want to do, especially the Lakers, is just to get a good feel for what they were doing in March and to see if they can bring that back along with them. If they can get some continuity back again, because they were playing great before this stopped. So they have to get that back. They have to incorporate two new players. And Deion Waiters, he's with the team, but he didn't play. J.R. Smith, you got to get used to playing without Avery Bradley and what he brings to the table. And you really want to stay healthy. We want to make sure all those guys are in good shape when the playoffs start, then you're playing your best basketball at the end of these eight games. But you want to win, yes. You want to maintain some sort of semblance with what you were doing. You want to have the right attitude. But the main thing has to be just improving, getting better, and staying healthy.
Yeah, bro, that's the thing I want to see is not only improving, staying healthy, but some players are going to take on some bigger roles and probably they expect it, right? When the Lakers were in that groove in late March, early March, you kind of guys knew their role. Now it seems like the roles will change. And the way that these games will be happening, after these eight and then you get into the playoffs, how do you see some of these roles starting to fill out? Where there's more Caruso, more Quinn Cook, will Deion Waiters actually be more of a godsend for them without having Avery Bradley? When does Rajon Rondo? So I'm trying to figure all of this out, and I know I won't be able to get that in these next eight games.
You know, the one guy I look forward to seeing if he increases what he does is Kyle Kuzma. Mm. I think this will be his opportunity to showcase all the skills that he has. Being able to initiate the offense sometimes, showing that he has got better on defense, showing that he can hit the open shots, that he's willing to move the ball along, that he can become that third scorer. He is the first guy I think the Lakers need to step up and fill the void. And then you have, as you say, Quinn Cook. But let's not get Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. Mm. He becomes the starting two guard or the starting guard, period, in the backcourt with Danny Green. You want to see more out of Danny Green. He's been solid, but he's also won two NBA championships. Mm-hmm. He knows what it takes to win in the playoffs. So I want to see him do some, you know, a few more things. I know what AD is going to do. We all know what LeBron's going to do. But the one guy, more than anyone else, I really want to see Kyle Kuzma and to see him take that next step.
Brad Turner from the LA Times taking some time to join the Sliwa Show. Alan Sliwa and Kirk Morrison. BT, I'm trying to get – Kirk and I were talking about this a little bit earlier, and I'm telling Kirk that I'm excited for tomorrow's game, not necessarily just because of the game. We've already kind of analyzed that of we'll see. We know there's three players missing for the Clippers tomorrow. It's Montrezl Harrell, it's Lou Williams, and Patrick Beverley. It's not going to be the matchup that we saw that Sunday before basketball stopped. But what are you looking – this restart, just – getting a chance to watch basketball and these become meaningful games, what does this feel like to you? I was explaining to Kirk that I almost feel like a new season is starting. Does that have a similar feel to you, or how would you describe the season coming back?
Adam, that's a really good question, man, because I'm trying to get a feel for this. I think because I've done so many different things, trying to break stories, trying to find out what's going on in the bubble, talking to my coworker Tanya Ganguly about how things are in the bubble, doing these Zooms with both teams, trying to understand why my man Lou Will went and got those wings from Magic City, and trying to think, have I ever gotten a wing from Magic City? Yeah, I have. Okay, I get
it. How are the wings? How are the wings?
Oh, man. Hey, they were good, but that was a long time ago when I was a young wild kid. Now I'm a grown-up adult, and I don't do those things anymore.
Okay, well, quick, Brad, because if they're real deal wings, I had Kirk tell me yesterday that there are some spots around the country that have unbelievable food. I just was unaware that that was the attraction at some of these establishments. Let's put it that way.
Oh, man, without a doubt. Are you kidding me? Yeah. I mean, that's what I've heard.
Somebody told you. Somebody told you. Yep, you saw some pictures on Yelp.
No, but you know, to be more serious about what we're talking about, I really am trying to get myself into this because of the workload that I've done lately. So you start preparing for this as if it's really a new season, but the restart of the old season. We've done some special section work. I mean, it's been a lot of things to do and to think about. So in some ways, I'm excited, but I'm a little tired because I've done so much work the last couple of days, which tells me because I've done this extra work that a season is about to start and they're going to start playing basketball again, and that makes me excited.
You know, Brad, I'm looking forward to seeing how this coaching staff, right? Frank Vogel, and I know Lionel Hollins is not there, but yet he'll still be very much a part of it, whether it's through Zoom, like you mentioned earlier, how we're kind of getting a lot of our information. But Jason Kidd, a lot of these coaches, I want to see how do they gel and what do they bring in this sort of environment that's going to be much different without the crowd noise, without having that extra emotional support that teams usually have, that they may have to take on a bigger role in motivating these players a little bit to get out there and give them that energy that they need. So when I look at the coaches, what do you expect from Frank Vogel? Because this is our first time actually seeing him as they get prepared for that last final stretch of the season.
Yeah, that's a really good question there.
Question was better, mine or his?
Well,
who would you give the edge to?
Unknown. Unknown of Vogel.
No one has a better question than you, Alan.
Yes, me too. That's what I'm talking about.
But let's not forget, Frank Vogel did take an Indiana Pacers team to the Eastern Conference Finals to meet LeBron James and that crew. So he understands how to do this. Jason Kidd did have some success as a coach with Brooklyn and Milwaukee. And so we know that those two guys can do things. Yes, they are missing Lionel Hollins. They will miss his voice. They miss his thoughts, his ingenuity, the things he wants to get involved in. But let's admit, it's a player's game. And as long as Frank can put those players in the right position to succeed and to help them understand what they're trying to get accomplished, you know, I think he'll be fine. He's done well this season. He had them in first place in the West, a few games behind Milwaukee for the best record in the NBA. So I don't have any concerns about Frank Vogel. I think he's done a great job this year, and I think he'll continue to do a great job.
Brad Turner covers the Lakers for the LA Times, joining the Sliwa Show. Alan Sliwa and Kirk Morrison here. BT, we saw today zero positive tests again for the NBA out of 344. When this bubble concept and idea was there, and over the last, let's say, 30 days and where we're sitting today, are you surprised how smooth it's gone so far? And we got a chance to hear Adam Silver, who was on Good Morning America, obviously earlier today. And he said that if an outbreak happened, they didn't have control, they wouldn't hesitate to stop the season. But just to this point, are you watching this kind of mesmerized by how smooth it's gone so far?
You know, I really am, especially when you look at what happened to the Miami, to the Florida Marlins.
Right.
In Miami. I mean, they haven't got back to Miami yet. They're still stuck in Philadelphia. We look at baseball and what they're dealing with. You have to say the NBA has done a great job, the best job of anyone. Look at the NFL. They're just now starting to open up camps, and they're having a lot of guys not play, to opt out. You're having guys that are all pro players that have decided their health is more important, and it's more important to everybody. But so the NBA has taken this model that I'm really thinking that only they, the NBA and soccer, could do. Baseball obviously couldn't do this. They couldn't get into a bubble situation. Neither can the NFL. So the commissioner, the players, everyone involved deserves a lot of credit for making this work. I am surprised that it's going this good so far. You've had a few guys leave the bubble. There's been a total of five guys that have left and come back, you know, to the bubble. So it's worked out for them. I just hope it continues to work for them. And then I hope we start seeing some really good basketball as we go forward.
Speaking of that, Brad, I'm as much as we're going to talk about Giannis and the Bucks, right? We could talk about the Sixers maybe a little bit, the Celtics, obviously Lakers and Clippers. But is there anybody outside of that that you are looking forward to watching? I know I'm looking forward to seeing some of the younger players. And Bol Bol has been a guy I'm watching for the Nuggets, that I didn't get a chance to see during the regular season. Is there somebody else that we can kind of be our appetizer before we watch the heavyweights throughout the rest of this season?
It's an easy one. Zion. Oh. He's a young fellow, man. I mean, I was fortunate to see his very first game in New Orleans against the San Antonio Spurs. And the first half, I thought, no, this is going to be a boring, dull story I'm going to write. Third quarter, he's done nothing. The next thing I know, the dude exploded. He started doing all kind of things, hitting threes. Yeah, I think he maybe had one or two dunks in that quarter. So Zion is someone that I want to see play. Ja Morant, I want to see that young dude get out there and do his thing. I mean, because I think the two of them are the future of the league. I mean, it's a ways away, but there's promise with them. And I really want to see a healthy Portland Trailblazers team. That's the one team I think might be able to get to that eighth seed.
Brad, stop. Just stop. Just stop.
Here we go.
Stop,
get ready.
Brad.
Get
Brad.
Ready. Here we
Please.
Go.
Please. Stop. Stop,
here
Brad.
We
just
go.
Stop. Because you're going to make Allen stay up all night and have
Kirk
nightmares.
Kirk wants to roll the tape back. He's ready.
Okay. All right.
Allen doesn't want to see this upstart Portland Trailblazers team that has nothing. They have nothing to lose but just be a thorn in the Lakers' side if they get to that eighth seed. So I'm just saying, hey, that's the one thing that people just may want to worry about if they're a Laker fan. Not that the Lakers can't beat them, but that they can make it a little more difficult for the Lakers.
So BT, man, I'll say this. BT, I'll say this about Portland, okay? They got a squad. Yeah. I mean, Dame is Dame, but I think there's a little overhype now about Portland that it's going to be this really dangerous team in the first round. Yes, if you can get a cupcake, if Sacramento finds a way to get in or Phoenix, you obviously take it. But I think there's been a little bit overhype on Portland based upon what they've done in the past, based upon Dame and everything else. I get what Kirk is saying. I guess I'm just not as worried about the Blazers as some other Laker fans are.
Well, Adam, what else can we base it on but what they've done in the past?
Mm-hmm.
And what they've done in the past has been some pretty good things. Now, to your point, yeah, it's overhyped a little bit because they've got injured players coming back, but they do have this guy named Dame Time, and this guy named CJ. And they have pretty good coach in Terry Stotts.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, they could be a dangerous team. And think about this. There's no home court advantage. Now, I'm not saying they're going to beat the Lakers. If they happen to meet, the Lakers would still beat them, but they would make them work and earn those victories.
Well, BT, we appreciate your time. So, BT, any you know, I'm back on with a pregame show tomorrow with Michael Thompson. Any message you want me to pass on to MT tomorrow?
You know what? Yeah, tell him that I'm still waiting for those two bottles of wine. You know what?
Okay,
I'll just
two
take
bottles.
One. I'll take one, please.
It seems like Kirk, MT always owes Brad Turner some wine. So I'll pass on that message tomorrow, right, BT?
Please do.
All right, buddy. Thank you for doing this, okay?
Thank you. Hey, Kirk, get that storm, man, and be safe out there.
Yeah, I think I might just get the old beer can helmet, right, with the two beers on the side. The stars
there you
that
go.
Come down. There we go.
There you go.
How I'll do it.
All right, sounds good, Brad. That's Brad Turner from the LA Times. Okay, let's give a quick little update here. Kirk, you watching? Are you delayed again?
No, I'm watching this.
So this is extra innings. This is how extra innings works now. You got a runner starting at second. Dodgers and Astros tied at one apiece in the 11th inning. One out for the Dodgers. Strikeout right now that just happened. So we'll keep you guys posted on this game. And I also want to play. I know I promoted a little bit earlier. Let me play this quick clip from Rob Polenko when we come back. Polenko was on. He was on with, I'm drawing a blank here, Ernie Johnson. Was on with Ernie Johnson. So stay right here. We'll play that coming up next. It's Rob Polenko talking about the Lakers team chemistry walking into this bubble. This is the Sliwa Show. Alan Sliwa and Kirk Morrison on 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Kirk, you want to give an update on this Dodgers game?
Yeah, right now it's still 1-1. Top of the 11th. Dodgers have a runner on third. Max Muncy up. And right now we're just waiting. Just
two
seeing
outs,
what's happened.
Two outs, by the way.
Yeah, two outs, mm-hmm. by the way. And it's crazy.
The crazy thing to see now,
we're three innings into this, having a runner start off on second base in extra innings. And still showing difficult for these teams to get a run across.
What a weird time. If I'd have told you a year ago that baseball is going to have a structure where in extra innings, a runner is going to start on second, there's going to be no fans, DH in the NL. I mean, a 60-game season. What a weird time. But I will say that I got nothing to complain about. I think, you know, if you're a sports fan out there, you've never appreciated sports more than what we have right now. So, by the way, two on, men at the corners. I think Turner's coming up next. Dodgers, Astros, tied at one apiece in the 11th. So we'll keep you guys posted on this game. Let me play something real quick. So Rob Polenko, VP, President of Basketball Operations for the Los Angeles Lakers, was on with Ernie Johnson on NBA Together on Twitter. Here is Polenko talking about the Lakers team chemistry inside the bubble and obviously how key that's going to be.
We have a great group of guys. I think one of the things that stood out for us early, EJ, here is everybody knows this is going to be a mental grind to be 3 months potentially away from your family. And I think the team that has the greatest togetherness is going to have an advantage. And, you know, early at our scrimmage games, we've had one of the loudest benches, you know, because these guys love each other. They're like brothers. And I think they talk about these really, really deep issues together and wrestle with how they can bring change and awareness. And they also have a lot of fun. And that's just something about our culture that we really appreciate.
All right. That's Rob Polenko right there. So, you know, it's interesting, Kirk, as I enjoy that conversation and I always do. You know, Brad Turner has been a frequent guest of the show and I love his work and, he's been covering the Lakers since the mid 80s. He actually tells a story, a really cool story, that he's known Michael Cooper, I want to say, since high school.
Wow.
And once he got into that Showtime era, you know, Michael Cooper was playing, he was writing, and just got the opportunity to start covering the Lakers. He's been covering the Lakers since. So really kind of cool story, the way he's been, he's just had such a successful career. But one of the things Brad Turner was mentioning for, you know, just the bubble in general and some of the competition coming up, there's so many unknowns to this Orlando bubble. And I'm referring to the basketball side of things, right? Like, mm-hmm. we don't know what players will step up, what players will like that there's no crowd, other players that are like, what the hell is this? I got no motivation. What teams will come back stronger? What teams will come back weaker? So there's a lot to kind of unravel that we're going to figure out in the next couple of days.
Yeah, it's a lot. And, you know, they're just getting started too, right? You know, we were excited. Oh, let's see what the exhibitions will look like, or the preseason. They actually look pretty fun.
Mookie now, Betts double, 2-1 Dodgers, top of the 11th, runners at second and third. Mookie Betts with a big RBI right there. They take a one-run lead.
That's why he gets paid the big bucks.
That's why he gets paid the big bucks. He's going to be expected to be doing this for his 12 years here in Los Angeles. But a big time, big time. And my bad to cut you off there, Kirk, but that's it's a big at-bat. It's a double off the wall and over 360 feet. Drives in a run, and this could put the Dodgers in position to take this two-game series against the Houston Astros, and in my opinion, send a message.
Yeah, send a message, and look, without your manager, you find a way to get things done, right? So you got to see how it handles in the bottom half of this 11th inning, but this is why Mookie Betts is here. We've talked about it before on this program, right, Alan? Why is Mookie Betts here with the Dodgers? It's because of plays like that. It's getting the Dodgers over the hump. That's a Mookie Betts play. That's why you're going to spend 300 and however many X amount, 365
yeah,
billion dollars. Yeah, 365. Mm-hmm. What else? Actually, 392. Remember, 392.
Oh, that's right. You count this season as well.
Yeah, count this season as well. So that's why you spend 392, and he hits the ball off the 362 feet sign over in left center field. But this is the reason why Mookie Betts is here. I talk about a guy with energy. He's the guy, the energy to this ball club, and you can see how that dugout just erupted when he hit that baseball to left center.
Okay, we got halftime coming up next. Curtis, something you want to promote over there, buddy?
Yeah, I'm in a conundrum that I need you guys to help me through. I need to
got you.
Something a little important here, and I'm gonna ask the guys for their guidance.
Okay, so whatever advice I give you, don't listen. Whatever Kirk and Jesse say, I would go with that. We have the bottom of the 12th. Are they 11th or the 12th?
Bottom
of the 11th coming up. Dodgers with a 2-1 lead. Keep you posted on that guy, on that game. Halftime coming up next. Sliwa Show, 710 ESPN. All right, quite the setting here at Minute Maid Park. Dodgers and the Astros, it's 2-1 Dodgers right now. They're in the bottom of the 11th, nobody out. Men at the corners with Correa up. So this is a big spot here, so we'll keep you guys posted. Anything that happens, we'll make sure to pass that on. Jess, why don't you get things started, bud?
All right. So earlier today,
2-2, Russ, game tied.
Lamar
Correa
Jackson.
Single.
Hold on, thank
Correa
you.
Correa single, 2-2.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, MLB Network.
Vaskurzon over here,
Matt Vaskurzon over here, buddy. Golly, slow down,
we
little
need to
Joe
take
Davis.
That you got out.
What do you want me to do here? People
slow
are on
down,
the road.
Slow down, little Vin Sliwa. Okay, relax.
We want them. We want them to know what's happening while we're doing the show.
Oh, Vin Sliwa over here. All right, go ahead.
All right.
One okay.
Are we good?
No, we're good. Go ahead.
Okay. All right. So earlier today, Lamar Jackson kind of spoke with the media, and he was talking about, you know, wanting now retired receiver Antonio Brown with the Ravens. He was saying, I'm hoping we can get him, and I'm still hoping a little bit. In April, Jackson worked out with Antonio Brown, who is the cousin of Ravens receiver Marquise Hollywood Brown. And even then, Jackson said that he'd be happy if Baltimore signed him. But he's retired. Clearly, Lamar Jackson's still going trying to sign AB. But you know, kind of throwing out to you guys two questions. One, do you think Antonio Brown would even return to the NFL? And two, if he does return, would the Ravens be a good fit for AB?
I got the perfect answer to this. Kirk, why don't you take it away, bud?
Look, I think it's an option, but there's just too much that has to happen, right? Antonio Brown is still awaiting from the NFL its investigation that they had for him with some of his off-the-field incidents, right? And they've never come out with the decision on that. Remember, Antonio Brown has met with Roger Goodell. This sort of investigation has been going on since last season when, remember, he was a part of the New England Patriots. He played 1 week, and then the Patriots had to cut him because he was put on, had too much going on to where they're like, we got to get rid of this guy. We have not heard the conclusion of this investigation, which puts him in limbo. And plus, if you do sign him, how many games will he have to sit out or he will have to miss? Antonio Brown is still one of the best receivers in the league. He comes back there, to me, the right away. I mean, they've upgraded at that position. Could I see it happening? Yes. Will it happen? I think not.
Is that, Kirk, you think that's the only team that would, because some of the connections there, and you got a guy like Lamar Jackson, obviously an MVP, a player of that caliber, talking positive about Antonio Brown, you think that's the only team that would take that type of a risk, or there's a list of teams that would?
I think that right now you'll see more as the season starts. I think right now, probably not so much.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But I think as you get closer to the season, or actually get into the season, and you realize we're not going anywhere unless we have a threat on the outside, that's where the leverage comes in. That's where you have those tough discussions within your management. That's when you realize, look, man, this is our time to go do it. You make those tough decisions, and bring them in.
Kirk, do you think I'm giving so many updates it's actually copyright? Like, I'm not allowed to do that?
I don't know.
I think this is...
Do you have the express written consent of the Major League Baseball?
I don't think I do. I don't think I do. I'm basically updating foul balls and strikes as well. Curtis, why don't you take over, bud? How can we help you? Tell us the advice you're looking
for. Have you guys ever been hacked on anything social media-wise, digitally, anything? So we
could I have not. I've never been hacked.
We talked about some months
ago. I hacked Kirk one time.
I know. So a month ago, I got my my debit card kind of hacked, but I got that figured out, got the money back. But I found out the other day my Twitter was hacked because it had the same login
password
information. And I only found out because I got an email saying you were closed for this activity. I had 40 tweets back to back with a link for Bitcoin, and I do not know.
Yeah, Curtis, I clicked on that link, man.
We invested. We all invested. I called Jesse. I was like, Jess, there's an opportunity. What kind of money can you put together? So thank you, Curtis. We appreciate you frauding us.
Yeah, so
you're the reason why my internet went down earlier.
Probably, yeah. So in response, they froze my account, which is fine. That's what you should do. So I fixed it. I changed my passwords, got it basically had to reset it. So I have, I had an okay following because, I was a journalism student. I did some couple places,
Curtis.
It's pretty, I had a nice little list of stuff in there.
Mm-hmm.
I have zero followers now.
Mm-hmm.
Because they froze it and unfroze it and did not re-update my followers. Correction, mm-hmm. I now have one follower. Jesse just followed me.
Okay, solid.
What's up?
But I don't know.
I got you, fam.
Do I delete Twitter, or do I just start over? What should I do here? Because right now I'm following like 500 people and I have one follower. It doesn't look great, but I also have a lot put into it.
I think, Curtis, in my opinion, just the way Twitter works, a lot of this, you follow the right people, that's all that matters. Like, I don't know about you, Kirk, but I enjoy scrolling through Twitter, but that doesn't mean I'm tweeting all the time. You know what I mean? Like, so, yeah, it's nice to have followers. Obviously, we try and use it for the show. But I use Twitter so much more to just see what other people are saying, what news networks are putting out there, what ESPN's linking. Like, I use it predominantly for that rather than tweeting all day.
Yeah, that's how I consume my news as well. So I'm thinking of keeping that. But it's like, what do you do? I can't tweet and say, hey, refollow me. No one's going to see it except for Jesse. I don't know. I'm in a conundrum here.
You'll be okay. Don't worry. You'll be just fine.
Don't trip.
Yeah, you'll be fine over there.
Yeah, if you want to follow me at Kurt Poindexter.
There you go. Throw it out there. Okay, did you guys see this thing real quick on yesterday? Dodgers teamed up, or I read this yesterday. I don't think it was done yesterday. So they teamed up with the delivery app Postmates to offer LA Dodger home plates. Basically what it is, you can go on Postmates, and if you want a Dodger dog or you want garlic fries or a super dog, carne asada helmet nachos, food that you would be getting at Dodger Stadium, you can actually order through Postmates. I think there's a certain, you know, area that they have the ability to do this. Kirk, here's my question to you. What's your favorite ball? Dodger Stadium? Ballpark food. It doesn't have to be Dodger Stadium. It could be anywhere. But what's your go-to when you go to a game? And don't say the clubhouse, the dugout seats where you got everything. You can't say that. That can't
honestly,
be your answer.
Yeah, that's cheating.
Yeah, that's cheating.
I think I got one that stands out.
It just depends on where you are. Okay.
Okay.
And I'm gonna preface this because I frequent the California teams, right? Mm-hmm. Like, if I'm in Oakland, I'm going to grab some barbecue because they have barbecue inside the stadium.
Okay.
If I'm in San Francisco at Oracle Park, mm-hmm. I'm getting the garlic fries. Okay. If I'm at Dodger Stadium, I'm going to get a Dodger dog or
Kirk, you got it all down like that. That's so organized for every stadium. Yeah.
Or, I mean, I honestly have to go get these items. So for me, it's the Dodger dog it's slipping my mind right now. What's my
for
ice
where?
Cream from the Dodger game? My ice cream, my cool. What's the ice cream?
Let me look.
Soft serve?
No, when no, not the soft the serve.
Which?
No, not the one that comes in a helmet.
Oh,
the package. I forgot it. I know somebody out there is going to help me out. It just slipped my mind right now.
I'm looking.
I'll find it.
I'll tell you, it's not on the menu.
Right?
No, not the one with the stick. It comes in the package.
The only thing on the menu is the frozen lemonade or
the
Brooklyn Dodgers blue gelato.
Yeah, that's the only thing I can think of.
I'll figure it out. Okay. But that, and then if I go down to Angel Stadium, I forgot what I had down at the Big A.
You got a full menu.
Nachos, and then in San Diego,
Kirk. I used to have back in San Diego.
Was
at
that?
The old at the Charger games at Qualcomm Stadium? Their garlic fries were so good.
Yes.
Garlic fries at a Charger game, that was like a must. And I know it's so random, like that doesn't go together at all. You're watching football, but the garlic fries, Qualcomm is by far.
Ah, that's what it is. I found it.
What is it?
The Coolaku. Remember, I know I had it right. The Coolaku. If you ain't had a look up Coolaku.
Sounds like a mythical monster.
That's
okay, for all my people, all my folks out here in L.A., let Alan Sliwa, let Curtis Poindexter know about a Coolaku.
That's
I can't even believe y'all been to it. Y'all didn't even talk about the Coolaku. I go to Dodger Stadium, I need a Dodger dog and a Coolaku, and I'm good to go. I'm good.
You're not good to go.
I don't remember
talked
them
about everything
ever
else
cool
that you had
cool.
In the dugout seats. Okay, Kirk, we're running out of time. What's yours? I know you got one over there.
Really quickly. So I was just kind of scrolling around the net, and I just saw this. And I think this is quick for you guys. Can you comment a movie quote that gives away the film without saying the title?
Say hello to my little friend.
Okay. All right, Scarface.
No, I am your father.
All right, Star Wars.
Wait, what's the other one? Let me think real quick.
I got one for you guys. So you're saying there's a chance.
That's a good one.
Dumb and Dumber.
That's a great one.
Oh, I got one. I just had it.
Sleep with the Fishes? What is it, Sleep with the Fishes?
Yep.
Is that the Godfather one?
The Godfather. What you got? Come on, Jess. Think of one.
Come on, I just said
one.
Something.
I didn't hear you.
Let's put a smile on that face. Let's put a smile on that face.
What is that one?
Kirk.
What is that one?
The Dark Knight.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, see, you got me on that one.
Smile on that face.
If he would have said, like, do you know how I got these scars? You might.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
What was the famous quote in Sandlot? What did he say?
You're killing me, Smalls.
Okay, you're killing me, Smalls. But what was the other one where the kid in the glasses says, gosh, why am I forgetting
forever.
This?
Forever.
Yes.
Forever. I think it's forever.
What is Squints? Squints?
Yeah, I think it was Squints. That guy was a man.
Yeah, so I've been kind of on this tangent because I know I needed something for tonight for our halftime segment. And so I just went down this rabbit hole of all these movie quotes. And I'm just like, oh, wow, okay. Oh, I remember that. No, remember that one.
Execute Order 66.
That's when you know you have a movie, when all you need is one line and everybody knows exactly what movie that was.
Yeah. So the thing is, I had a quote, and I love this quote. Mm-hmm. I will say this. I know we got a break, but it's one of my all-time movie quotes because someone asked me the other day, what's your favorite movie? Like, if I can watch it over and over again. And so I told him I was on a Zoom call. And so once I say this line, I think everybody will know what movie it is. Because it was, like, for me, such a powerful scene of the movie where a guy, his back is turned, and then he turns around and says, answer me, who are you? And then, like he said, he turns around, he says, my name is Maximus Decimus Meridius.
How good was that?
Leaders
movie?
Of the armies of the north.
Oh, how good was
that?
Oh,
my God.
How good was that scene?
Oh, my God.
Just how good was that scene?
Husband Russell to a murdered Rowe. Wife, father to a murdered son, and I will get my vengeance, either in this life or the next.
Kirk, when he was done with that line, I was like, I'm ready to.
I'm ready. I was ready to run through a wall.
Wherever they need me, all right? They need me in some kind of war, I'm ready to go.
I watched that night before NFL games, man. That's how. Leaders of the armies of the north.
Gladiator was amazing. Amazing.
The sole heir to the throne of Marcus Aurelius. All
right. Just the man right there. The man right there. Okay, let's do this. When we come back, big news in college football. Mm-hmm. And I know we have more question marks in college than we do answers, but I think this is definitely, definitely something that is one of these Power Five conferences, Kirk, where it's another it's another kind of big step that falls, and now we're all still waiting on the SEC. So we'll talk about that coming up next. And just a quick reminder, Chris Harey, Chargers team reporter, he's coming up at 8:30. We'll shift gears, talk a little bit of NFL football, and keep you guys posted on this Astros-Dodgers game. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show with Alan Sliwa and Kirk Morrison on 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
All right, so we got some. Kirk, would you say this is big news in college football, or do you think this is just not just expected, but one of those things where it's not that big until we figure out there's going to actually be a season? ACC sets an 11-game fall football schedule. They add Notre Dame into the mix. So Notre Dame, which obviously an independent school, is going to be part of the mix. So you'll have 10 conference games plus one non-conference game, I guess you want to call it, with Notre Dame. When you read this, was this a surprise? We knew some of these other conferences in the Big Five, the Power Five, announced that at the end of July is when they would be kind of announcing more news. This news obviously sits for the ACC.
Yeah. Let's see. I think we already knew this.
The Notre Dame part two?
Well, I think the ACC was going to have an all-conference schedule. I think when the Big Ten decided, hey, we're going to just do a conference schedule, the Pac-12 said we're going to do a conference schedule. But then you got to the ACC, you had the SEC, and now you're looking at what's going to happen with the Big 12, that we can have a conference schedule, but a lot of these teams also play in-state rivals. So how do you still incorporate that, but then also do a conference schedule? Well, the ACC saying, yes, we're going to be able to do this, and we're also going to keep our in-state rivalries, where basically if we can drive or they're in our same state, then we should still be allowed to be able to play them or be able to play a rivalry game at your home place. That's been sort of the talk. But I think the bigger news here is this. Even though that Notre Dame is an independent, though, Allen, they still usually would play a half ACC schedule. But now with a lot of these schools like the Big Ten who say they're going to do conference only, Pac-12 conference only, we know that what Stanford and USC every year are always on what? Notre Dame schedule.
That's right. That's
not going to happen. So by them losing out on those games, now Notre Dame becomes a full-out member of the ACC.
They'll split their TV revenue, right? Among all 15 ACC schools, yep.
Yeah, so that's the bigger thing. That's where I think the ACC is actually going to get over on everybody, because they're going to benefit. Because you already have ACC. We already have the ACC network here at ESPN. So they've already got the revenue coming from that. But now they're going to be able to disperse the $15 million that's the annual revenue for Notre Dame football from NBC. So NBC will still be airing Notre Dame football games, but because Notre Dame has to, because they're forced to play in the ACC this year because of not having the amount of games that they have to split their revenue with the 15 schools. So for them, if I'm an ACC school, I just got richer. I just got more money. How about that? Like, I'm just sitting here doing just because Notre Dame will be in our conference, we're going to get more money in this pandemic. So we'll see how it works out. I actually, I'm kind of looking forward to what this is going to look like because a lot of these schools will still keep that in-state rivalry. And I'm talking about a school like Clemson will still be able to take on South Carolina, who is a member of the SEC, right? Mm-hmm. You may still be able to see Georgia Tech, which is obviously in Georgia, playing against the University of Georgia as a rivalry game because that's within the state. So you still have some of that going.
Might get the best of both worlds here.
It's going to be good. I mean, we're like I said, we're still hopeful, right? We still, you know, and this is going to be something that kicks off in September right after Labor Day weekend. So we're going to figure out how this thing is going to work. I'm seeing.
What are you hearing, Kirk? What are you hearing about college football? I mean, for listeners who don't know, you do a game every Saturday, right?
Correct.
You're traveling across the country,
yes,
and you're doing a broadcast. And what are you hearing just in general about college football, or is it still too early? And I know it's only a little over a month away, but technically, in the world of COVID, that's a long time from now because we don't know what's going to happen. So what are you hearing?
What I'm hearing is that there's going to be a season. And the ACC just told us that. The Big Ten just told us that. The Pac-12 has told us that. And hearing other schools planning virtual media days for next week, there seems to be a lot of positivity that football for colleges will happen even with virtual learning, no students on campus. I think honestly, how does that work? If there's no students on campus, will there mean that players will be able to stay in dorms without other students? Does that benefit the players, right? Does that benefit college football players? Because now they're out of, you know, kind of mingling with the normal regular student. Right. Because now they can kind of be more policed within their own. So it could be a positive. We shall see. But from what I'm hearing right now, and look, I've only talked to a certain amount of people, nothing official just yet. But it just seems to me that they're going down a road that we will have college football. The only thing is, how will the announcing be, right? Because we're looking at everything being on the table, which we've seen, right? You talked about it, John Ireland and Michael Thompson doing
in
a
the
radio.
Studio, watching on TV.
Yeah, watching on TV, doing a studio. Mm-hmm. Will we have some of that? You know, we've seen a lot of the broadcasts, you know, where you have the game taking place in one city and the actual announcers in a whole different state in a studio. So you may see some different, I think throughout this college football season where people are going to have to be creative. It won't be the norm, but I think it's necessary for sports to, first of all, travel. You know, a lot of announcers travel, you know what I mean? And you want to keep less travel. You want to keep guys, and you know, women, guys, you want to keep them all safe. But I just think that the road that we're going down right now is that we're going to see a college football season. And it'll be interesting, though, Alan. What the big interesting thing I want to see is bowl season. What is bowl season going to look like?
I just want to see them. I mean, for me, Kirk, I think I've heard so much negativity towards college football, and these aren't people just being negative or being pessimistic or the glass is half, you know, half empty. It's just the reality of what I think football is facing, and specifically college football. So when you say you think that they're going to try and give it a shot, that they could potentially make it happen, that gets me excited. I mean, what's better than fall? What's better in fall than watching college football on these Saturday games, these Saturday night games? So let's see how that plays out. But let's do this, Kirk. Let's go from college football to the NFL. Chris Hayre, Chargers team reporter, he's coming up next. Another update on the Dodgers and the Astros. 2-2, bottom 12th, runner at second with one out. Astros in position, obviously, here to end the game if they score. Dodgers trying to get it to the 13th. Chris Hayre coming up next. Stay right here. Sliwa Show, 710 ESPN. All right, so we got some. Kirk, would you say this is big news in college football, or do you think this is just not just expected, but one of those things where it's not that big until we figure out there's going to actually be a season? ACC sets an 11-game fall football schedule. They add Notre Dame into the mix. So Notre Dame, which obviously an independent school, is going to be part of the mix. So you'll have 10 conference games plus one non-conference game, I guess you want to call it, with Notre Dame. When you read this, was this a surprise? We knew some of these other conferences in the Big Five, the Power Five, announced that at the end of July is when they would be kind of announcing more news. This news obviously sits for the ACC.
Yeah. Let's see. I think we already knew this.
That the Notre Dame part two?
Well, no. Well, I think the ACC mm-hmm. was going to have an all-conference schedule. I think when the Big Ten decided, hey, we're going to just do a conference schedule, the Pac-12 said we're going to do a conference schedule. But then you got to the ACC, you had the SEC, and now you're looking at what's going to happen with the Big 12, that we can have a conference schedule, but a lot of these teams also play in-state rivals. So how do you still incorporate that, but then also do a conference schedule? Well, the ACC saying, yes, we're going to be able to do this, and we're also going to keep our in-state rivalries, where basically if we can drive or they're in our same state, then we should still be allowed to be able to play them or be able to play a rivalry game at your home place. That's been sort of the talk. But I think the bigger news here is this. Even though that Notre Dame is an independent, though, Alan, they still usually would play a half ACC schedule. But now with a lot of these schools like the Big Ten, who say they're going to do conference only, Pac-12 conference only, we know that what Stanford and USC every year are always on what? Notre Dame's schedule.
That's right.
That's not going to happen. So by them losing out on those games, now Notre Dame becomes a full-out member of the ACC.
They'll split their TV revenue, right?
Correct.
All 15 ACC schools, yep.
Yeah, so that's the bigger thing. That's where I think the ACC is actually going to get over on everybody.
They'll
right?
benefit.
Because they're going to benefit because you already have ACC. We already have the ACC network here at ESPN. So they've already got the revenue coming from that. But now they're going to be able to disperse the $15 million. That's the annual revenue for Notre Dame football from NBC. So NBC will still be airing Notre Dame football games, but because Notre Dame has to. Because they're forced to play in the ACC this year because of not having the amount of games that they have to split their revenue with the 15 schools. So for them, if I'm an ACC school, I just got richer. I just got more money. How about that? Like, I'm just sitting here doing just because Notre Dame will be in our conference, we're going to get more money in this pandemic. So we'll see how it works out. I actually, I'm kind of looking forward to what this is going to look like because a lot of these schools will still keep that in-state rivalry. And I'm talking about a school like Clemson will still be able to take on South Carolina, who is a member of the SEC, right? You may still be able to see Georgia Tech, which is obviously in Georgia, playing against the University of Georgia as a rivalry game because that's within the state. So you still have some of that going.
Might get the best of both worlds here. You might get the best of both worlds here.
It's going to be good. I mean, like I said, we're still hopeful, right? We still, you know, and this is going to be something that kicks off in September right after Labor Day weekend. So we're going to figure out how this thing is going to work. I'm seeing.
What are you hearing, Kirk? What are you hearing about college football? I mean, for listeners who don't know, you do a game every Saturday, right?
Correct.
You're traveling across the country.
Yes.
And you're doing a broadcast. And what are you hearing just in general about college football? Or is it still too early? And I know it's only a little over a month away, but technically, in the world of COVID, that's a long time from now because we don't know what's going to happen. So what are you hearing?
What I'm hearing is that there's going to be a season. And the ACC just told us that. The Big Ten just told us that. The Pac-12 has told us that. And hearing other schools planning virtual media days for next week, there seems to be a lot of positivity that football for colleges will happen, even with virtual learning, no students on campus. I think, honestly, how does that work? If there's no students on campus, will there mean that players will be able to stay in dorms without other students? Does that benefit the players, right? Does that benefit college football players? Because now they're out of, you know, kind of mingling with the normal, regular student. Right. Because now they can kind of be more policed within their own. So it could be a positive. We shall see. But from what I'm hearing right now, and look, I've only talked to a certain amount of people, nothing official just yet. But it just seems to me that they're going down a road that we will have college football. The only thing is, how will the announcing be, right? Because we're looking at everything being on the table, which we've seen, right? You talked about it, John Ireland and Michael Thompson doing
in
a radio.
Studio, watching on TV.
Yeah, watching on TV, doing a studio. Mm-hmm. Will we have some of that? You know, we've seen a lot of the broadcasts, you know, where you have the game taking place in one city and the actual announcers in a whole different state in a studio. So you may see some different things throughout this college football season where people are going to have to be creative. It won't be the norm, but I think it's necessary for sports to, first of all, travel. You know, a lot of announcers travel, you know what I mean? And you want to keep less travel. You want to keep guys, and you know, women, guys, you want to keep them all safe. But I just think that the road that we're going down right now is that we're going to see a college football season, and it'll be interesting, though. Alan, what the big interesting thing I want to see is bowl season. What is bowl season going to look like?
I just want to see them. I mean, for me, Kirk, I think I've heard so much negativity towards college football, and these aren't people just being negative or being pessimistic or the glass is half, you know, half empty. It's just the reality of what I think football is facing, and specifically college football. So when you say you think that they're going to try and give it a shot, that they could potentially make it happen, that gets me excited. I mean, what's better than fall? What's better in fall than watching college football on these Saturday games, these Saturday night games? So let's see how that plays out. But let's do this, Kirk. Let's go from college football to the NFL. Chris Hayre, Chargers team reporter, he's coming up next. Another update on the Dodgers and the Astros. 2-2, bottom 12th, runner at second with one out. Astros in position, obviously, here to end the game if they score. Dodgers trying to get it to the 13th. Chris Hayre coming up next. Stay right here. Sliwa Show, 710 ESPN. All right, I want to welcome in Chris Hayre, covers the Chargers, team reporter for the Chargers. Chris, first of all, we're getting closer to obviously some NFL football, hopefully. But Chris, how are you? How excited are you for somebody that, you know, used to work with the Los Angeles Lakers? How excited are you to just get some Lakers basketball tomorrow against the Clippers?
Oh, Alan, I'm pumped, man. First of all, it's good to be with you and Kirk. But yes, it's been, gosh, 4 months waiting for the purple and gold to get back on the court for real. And what a way to start against the Clippers. So I couldn't be more excited. Just that, you know, have baseball on in the background, watching the Dodgers and Astros. Right now and last night, it's good to have some semblance of normalcy when it comes to sports, and we're hoping the same for the NFL.
Yeah, Chris, you know, it's been something that we've been waiting for a long time, right? We almost thought we would never get to this point, but as we're watching baseball, NBA starting, obviously the NFL is kind of the last major of the big three major sports to get started. during this pandemic, because they had already ended before the pandemic started. So just to see now, especially with teams starting to open up training camp, you're starting to get these pictures and videos of Tom Brady and Philip Rivers. And even today or yesterday, I saw pictures of Justin Herbert, you know, out there at Chargers practice. So
yeah,
as you get ready for football and no preseason, what are you looking forward to?
Well, you know what? I'm looking forward to just seeing these guys get on the grass, but this is going to be, Kurt, you mentioned, it's just going to be such an unconventional training camp. I mean, keep in mind, these guys didn't have an off-season program. Everything was done via Zoom. So the first 8 to 10 days, in talking to Tom Telesco, he talked to the media this week, it's going to be like phase one of OTAs. They're just going to try to ramp these guys up, get them into football shape. These guys are coming from all different parts of the country. So the last thing you want to do is try to rush them and get pads on them quickly, right? You want to be able to make sure that they're in football shape. And to not have a preseason, I can't help but think of some of these undrafted free agents that we're used to seeing make teams. The opportunities are just going to be slim this year. You know, they're not going to get as many looks. You're not going to have that those preseason games, specifically that fourth preseason game where, you know, it's almost like a Super Bowl for some of these undrafted free agents. So it's going to be an unconventional year trying to balance the evaluation of players and also getting ready for week one of the regular season, because coaches and staff, they're going to be in game plan mode here in a few weeks, just getting ready for week one.
Chris Hayre, Chargers team reporter, joining the Sliwa Show, Alan Sliwa and Kirk Morrison on 710 ESPN. Chris, can you give me just your thoughts on that Joey Bosa contract, 5 years, $135 million? And this is something Kirk and I talked a little bit about yesterday. Are you surprised that big of money being thrown around just under the circumstances? It's not to say that the value is not there. The Mookie Betts deal, obviously we get the value in Mookie Betts, but are you surprised just from the timing perspective of so many unanswered questions for the NFL this upcoming year?
Well, I think with each year that goes by, you know, just the business of sports in general, doesn't matter really which one of the major leagues you're talking about. You know, money's going to change with the year, but I think with Joey Bosa, I think it's gigantic for the Chargers to get a guy like him. And so people forget he's been in the league since 2016. He's only 25 years old, and he's hit the quarterback more times per game since 2016. The only person who's hit the quarterback more is Aaron Donald. So, you know, he has 40 sacks since 2016. He's had 9 fewer starts because of injury than everybody else in the top 10. It's a big thing for the Chargers because rush and cover, they work together, as Kirk well knows. And when you have a guy like Bosa on one level of your defense, you have Derwin James coming back in what everybody hopes is 16 games. Then you draft a guy like Kenneth Murray from Oklahoma. That's potential 3 blue-chip guys on each level of your defense for years to come, not to mention some of the other talented folks that they have in the secondary, and Chris Harris Jr. and Casey Hayward, and having Melvin Ingram on the other side. So I think it was so important to keep your best players, right? And Joey Bosa has produced since he's gotten into this league, and I think is well-deserved.
I think it's well-deserved, but you get a chance to pay guys like that when you don't have to pay the quarterback position a ton of money, right? When you got these rookie quarterbacks on a rookie deal, and Tyrod Taylor right now, a very reasonable contract. But just listening to Anthony Lynn talk about it today, that if he had needed a day one starter right now, it will be Tyrod Taylor, just because of what you just mentioned earlier, Chris, of, you know, this offseason was pretty much non-existent for a Justin Herbert. So it will be a season that will start with Tyrod Taylor as the day one starter. How long do you think he holds that job? And is this almost possibly a redshirt year type for a guy like Justin Herbert, who we know is the future? He's the life after Philip Rivers. Or do we see him at some point this season?
You know, Kirk, it's a great question. And I was on that call with Coach Lynn today, too. He also said that, you know, in as unpredictable a year as this will be, you can't rely on Justin Herbert just to be a redshirt guy. You know, you have to try to get him ready to play. Now, Coach did say, as you mentioned, Tyrod's in the driver's seat. And I think one of the things people forget is Coach Lynn and Tyrod spent some time together in Buffalo, one season in which Tyrod went to the Pro Bowl and had a winning record and got the Bills to the playoffs.
Right.
So I see this offense. I'm looking at some of the stats last year with the Chargers. You have to throw so many of them out the window just because the quarterback's different. The bell cow running back in Melvin Gordon is gone. This is going to be a slightly different style of offense, too, because one thing that Tyrod, Herbert, and Easton Stick, for that matter, in that quarterback's room have in common is they can all make moves with their legs. They can all make plays with their legs. They can extend the play. You may see Tyrod run for a few more yards than Phillip Rivers in 2020. And I just think that with the weapons that Tyrod has around him, he hasn't had better weapons when you go back to his time in Baltimore, Buffalo, and Cleveland. So it's going to be an interesting season, to say the least. And make no mistake, you know, the hope is for Tyrod to ride this thing out and to lead the Chargers to the playoffs. You know, I think that would be, you know, in a perfect world, that's what you want. But at the same time, you have to make sure you have that rookie quarterback ready. And another thing that Coach Lynn mentioned is just the quality starts that Justin had at Oregon. You know, mm-hmm. Starting over 40 games there, four-year starter, Rose Bowl champion. He's a smart kid. He can pick things up quickly. And I think Tyrod's going to be great for Justin in that quarterback's room.
Chris Harry, Chargers team reporter, giving us an NFL breakdown. Just a quick update here. So the Dodgers take a 4-2 lead. Edwin Rios, a 2-run homer in the 12th, I think we're in at this point. So Dodgers up 4-2 on the Astros. So an update there. Dodgers still at the plate. Chris, as I guess you could say, maybe the dust settles a little bit. Where do you see the AFC West right now? We know where the Chiefs are, but how would you and Kirk, you can hop in on this as well. How do you guys see the rest of the AFC West stacking up between the Broncos, the Chargers, and the Raiders?
Yeah, well, you know, I'm interested to hear what Kirk has to say, because I think we all know the Chiefs are the class right now, and they have a lot of starters returning on both sides of the football. What the Raiders and Broncos tried to do this offseason, I think, is try to load up on offense to try to keep up with the Chiefs, maybe outscore the Chiefs. And the Chargers went a little bit of a different route. Yes, they have some very impressive weapons on offense, but they made a concerted effort to get better on defense. And when I say that, you bring in Chris Harris Jr., one of the best slot corners in this game. You draft Kenneth Murray, who I mentioned. You bring in Linval Joseph, and I can't overstate how great that's going to be for Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram, and Linval's ability to rush the passer from the interior. And then you hope Jerry Tillery, the first round pick from 2019, can do the same. So the Chargers have played the Chiefs pretty tough in Patrick Mahomes and company the past couple of years. So I think they're going about it a little bit of a different way than the Broncos and Raiders. You know, Drew Lock, I was impressed with Drew Lock. He's a very small sample size of tape in the NFL. The Raiders, I'm not sure that they have the horses defensively to stop the Chiefs. So I think the Chargers are in a good position to compete with the Chiefs and grab one of those wild card spots. But I know Kirk knows the AFC West better than anybody. So
I love the AFC West. Obviously, I grew up in the AFC West and watching it, but I mean, everybody, honestly, I think is playing for second place. I think you got to put the Chiefs up there. And then you have, obviously, where the Chargers, where the Raiders going to be at. And then all of a sudden, you still got to look at the Denver Broncos, like you mentioned. I think they'll be better defensively. And they feel like they got their answer at quarterback. But Chris, I don't want to bury the lead here, man, because I know last week I was scrolling around, and all of a sudden I see on Sports Central, this interview, a well-done interview you did with the NBA insider from Spectrum and Spectrum Sports.
From the Athletic and the Stadium.
And the Athletic, yeah, mm-hmm. Sham Sharania, man. And I got to give you some love on that one on Sports Central. But like I said, well done. In your research and doing the interview, man, what did you learn about Shams? And because I think a lot of old heads, what I call them old heads, a lot of NBA historians, when they were looking for news, everybody would go to Woj. Woj is kind of like the NBA's guy. But now it's like this new generation, like you mentioned in your interview, that now go to Shams. He's like the I call him, he's the Ja Morant and Zion Williamson now of the new age of basketball player, but the new age of basketball information.
He really is, Kirk, and I appreciate you mentioning that. Charles, it's such an inspiring story too. I mean, he grew up like probably you and I and Alan grew up, just loving sports and loving basketball, and he really just kind of spoke it into existence, and he worked his tail off to get to where he is. But I remember watching SportsCenter and having, you know, guys you look up to, broadcasters, and it really is true in this new age of social media and sports and the NBA, Shams is the guy. You know, I mean, you have your notifications set to him, in terms of free agency and news that he's breaking in the bubble. So I was just really inspired because, you know, everybody's gotten to where they are through hard work in the broadcast industry. And it was really cool to hear his story because I think it gives a lot of people motivation that, hey, you know, it may seem like a big dream, but if you keep at it and you keep doing your thing, who knows where you can be? And it's pretty remarkable at 26 what Shams has been able to accomplish in his very young career.
Chris, final question for me. Just want to get your opinion. How do you feel as we are getting ready to get into August? What do you think? Do you think we'll have this opportunity to play football this year? What are the there some key dates that we have to look out for? What are you what are you anticipating over this next 30 days or so?
You know, I think like everybody else, I'm cautiously optimistic. I know the protocols are very detailed with the NFL, the protocols that are put in place in all 32 NFL facilities. So they're doing as much as is humanly possible to make sure that players and staff are safe and they can get this thing off without a hitch. Now, you know, these guys got to get on the field. They got to start practicing. They, you know, many of these vets have to clear this quarantine period, but I'm cautiously optimistic that they can get on the field. And, you know, not having preseason, it's going to hurt in some ways, and I think it's going to hurt the back half of the roster, like I mentioned. But if they can just ramp up to get to week one and continue to get in a groove, get familiar with these protocols, I'm optimistic that we're going to have some football this fall, guys.
Well, Chris, we appreciate it, bud. When we hopefully we get to that point when we do get the season back, let's do this again. So, thank you for joining the show. All right.
Absolutely, guys. Always appreciate your time.
All right, Chris. Thank you, bud. All right, that's Chris Harey right there, Chargers reporter. Okay, so we got some final thoughts coming up next. I want to play something from Jalen Rose, who was on. Jalen Rose was on First Take a little bit earlier. Jalen's picking the Clippers over the Lakers this season in the restart. He'll give his reasons why. And any new updates with the Dodgers and the Astros will update you. Stay right here. Sliwa Show, 710 ESPN. All right, so Kirk, how'd baseball do? They grab your attention? You said you're going to give them a week. Today's going to technically be the final day of the week.
It took a fight to do it. But that's how they got me. They waited to the last day.
What fight?
They waited. Well, not necessarily a fight. A little, not a brouhaha, but a little.
When you think about it, it was nothing. It was really nothing.
But tension.
There's some storylines behind it.
Those storylines actually got me into watching tonight's game, which seems like the game that just won't end, by the way. But yeah, that's what kind of got me going.
This game started at 4.
Yes. And it's almost 9.
We were talking about how the game could be done by the time we got started. So we got a chance to – but by the way, I mean, how great is it just to have the game on in the background? So Dodgers up 4-2, two outs, runner at third for the Astros. So one out away from sweeping the series. Kirk, I want to play something. And Jalen Rose is – he's one of my favorite to listen to from a basketball perspective. I just enjoy – a lot of his takes, I think a lot of it comes from the heart. At the same time, you know, this isn't going to be popular, certainly in Los Angeles. Jalen Rose, what team he's picking, he was on First Take this morning, what team he's picking between the Lakers and the Clippers in the Western Conference?
For the Los Angeles Lakers, you know what they still need to figure out? Who's their fifth guy that's going to be on the floor?
Kuzma.
That's something, no, Kuzma should be on the floor with LeBron, AD, and Danny Green. They still need to figure out who that other person is going to be, because you know who it was going to be? Avery Bradley. And while you're doing hypotheticals and speaking while I'm speaking about who's in and out of the bubble, Avery Bradley will not be joining the team. Rajon Rondo is dealing with an injury. That will be more pressure on LeBron James. And the Clippers have multiple people that they can try to throw at the King. That's why I feel like the Clippers have the edge. And on the sideline, I don't have to tell Big Perk this. He's wearing a nice championship ring. Doc Rivers was the coach. And you know who he hired? Tyronn Lue. And if there is somebody that knows LeBron James in and out, he's on the Clippers coaching staff. I'm taking them to win the West.
So that's Jalen Rose on First Take. You know what I like about this, Kirk, is it's going to be the conversation. The conversation in the Western Conference, I mean,
right.
Unless there's a shocker, unless Houston comes out of nowhere, right? Unless Denver has a run.
Right.
I don't know how teams are going to perform in this Orlando bubble. But what I do know is it's going to come down to the Lakers and it's going to come down to the Los Angeles Clippers in the Western Conference. And if we're if we get this opportunity to see these two teams face each other in the playoffs, and it would be the Western Conference Finals unless, you know, Clippers fall back a couple spots and they meet in the second round, that's going to be the question mark that's there all season long, or the remainder of the season. Is it the Lakers or is it the Clippers? And there's certainly advantages both teams have. Jalen obviously poking at some of the holes that the Lakers have.
Yeah, and I think that one definitely made Laker fans go, uh-oh. Because he's got a point, right? He's got a point. Tyronn Lue.
I turned the volume down.
Yeah, because Tyronn Lue knows LeBron James.
No, that's an interesting angle. That definitely is an interesting
angle. Yeah, it's an interesting angle, but it does say, like, who is going to be that final five? Mm-hmm. And it goes back to my earlier point that Jalen was talking about. This is my first time listening to that clip, but it goes back to my earlier point. And what did I say? First of all, congratulations to the Dodgers in winning the marathon 4-2, by the way.
Almost a five-hour game. There goes almost. The trying to finish the games early. But a big win. By the way, a big win for the Dodgers. They go to Houston. They grab two. Yeah. So let's not pretend that that's not big news, because it is.
Yeah, that's huge for them. 4-2, and now move on and see when Joe Kelly comes back. But, you know, just kind of finishing up that point, Alan, that's what I want to see. I want to see what happens with the Lakers. Who is going to be that final five? When it's 3 minutes to go, who is going to be the five guys on the court, or that final 2 minutes? We know what the Clippers are going to bring. They're going to have their guys, but who is going to be that guy for the Lakers? And then on top of that, like I keep saying, Alan, it's going to be tough, but if there is a team like Portland, or a team that kind of pushes the Lakers a little bit more, it's going to be a good thing, because the Lakers will be able to figure out who is going to be that five, or the guys that you can trust in that final minutes, 2 minutes of a game. But it also gives the other opponents opportunities to understand who they're going to bring and how they can counter that. It's just part of the game. But like I said, it may be a little bit easier if they're playing against an opponent that they can kind of dominate. But if they're playing a team that not necessarily equal in talent, but can push them a little bit, mm-hmm. It doesn't bode well for the Lakers.
All right. Well, Kirk, we don't have to wait any longer. So Lakers, Clippers tomorrow, we'll get a chance. I can't tell you how much I'm looking forward to getting back to doing the pregame show and the postgame show. As always, Kirk, thank you for being a part of the show, buddy. We'll do it again next week, okay?
All good, brother. I'll be listening.
All right, that's Kirk Morrison right there. Don't forget, tomorrow morning starting at 6 a.m., you could listen to the morning show. And like I mentioned, Lakers and the Clippers, looking forward to that tomorrow. L.A., have a great rest of your night.